All right, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Last week, we got to start in looking at the first three verses, and entitled the message, Timing, and dealing with, really, do we know what time it is, as we're talking about events leading up and dealing with the second coming of the Lord. Now remember, that is an event that's separated, really, by two separate events, in a sense to where we talk about the rapture of the church, where the Lord comes back and takes the church, the body of Christ, out of this world. Those who have died in Christ are resurrected, but those who are alive and remain that are in Christ will be caught up or raptured to meet the Lord and be with them forever. And then what happens is what's called a seven-year tribulation period. That's when we talk about all the God's wrath coming down on the earth, actually on the last 3.5 years of that 7 years, and you know the Antichrist and the Mark of the Beast and all that. That's when all that takes place. We do not have to worry about that. And being in the body of Christ, we're taken out before then. Even the way 1 Thessalonians lays itself out in the subject matter. Remember, we talked about the rapture of the church in chapter 4 and that catching away and how it's also a comfort for us, for those who of our family members and friends that have died in Christ, we'll see them again. But in chapter 5, as we started last week, we see that this is when he starts talking about dealing with this tribulation period. And one of the things I want to draw your attention to before we get into what we're going to see today, because we're going to be looking at verses 4 through 6 and talking about watching, being aware and being awake of what's going on and things that we need to cover in that. But I want you to notice what it says in verse 3. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 3, it says, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." So remember, the tribulation period, that seven-year period, the first 3.5 years of that is this false peace. You have this leader that's going to seem like the greatest person on earth, you know, that's going to come on the scene and solve all the problems in the Middle East, all the problems in the world, and people are going to follow him. And there's peace, again, a false peace, for the first 3.5 years, until he goes into the temple of God that will be rebuilt by the Jews and Israel, and he will say that I am God. And that's when all, literally, hell will break loose on earth. And you'll notice in verse 3 again, it says, as travail upon a woman with child. That's, again, somebody's getting ready to give birth. It's like all of a sudden, when it happens, when the labor pains happen, it is instant and it's that quick, you know that this is taking place. And that's what it's going to be like in a tribulation period. I want to draw your attention to that last phrase in verse 3. It says, and they shall not escape. There's not going to be a place on earth that people are going to escape what's going to be happening in the tribulation period. So all the doomsday preppers and everything they're doing, and they're taking a bus and burying it underground and stocking full supplies, that's not going to matter. All right? They will not escape. The only escape is having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you're taken out before these things happen. That's the only escape there's going to be. All right? Now, I want you to also notice something in verse 3 before we move on to what we're going to see today, verses 4 through 6. I'm going to read verse 3 again. It says, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." And the reason why I'm stressing those things is because we're talking about a different group of people. They are not saved. They're not part of the body of Christ. And notice in verse 4, what we're going to start today, it says this, "But ye," all right, "brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." So there's a difference in groups of people that Paul is addressing. The they are those who do not have Christ as the Lord and Savior. The they are those who will be going through this tribulation period. We and us, we're not part of that. But yet we have instructions, we have things that we need to be doing before the Lord takes us out of here. And that's what we're really going to be talking about today. In verses 4 and 5, we're going to talk about being aware. And then in verse 6, we're going to talk about being awake. One of the things I've even mentioned in the last couple of weeks or so, it's like the problem that we have in Christianity today is that we are not aware of what's going on. Like last week, we don't know what time it is, all right, and how close we are to the second coming of the Lord and our responsibilities and what we need to do because of that. And also being awake, all right? It's like spiritually, unfortunately, there's a lot of Christians that are spiritually asleep. They're asleep on the job. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And so, we're going to have a quick word of prayer. We're going to get started in seeing what we need to see out of these three verses today, and hopefully trust that God will give us the instructions that we need to be able to apply to our lives. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you and praise you again for the day. Thank you for just really the things that you are showing us in the Word at this time, and at such a time as this. We're living in a country, we're living in a world that is crazy. I mean, there are things that are just going out of control, and it seems to be no end. And we know that your word lays those things out. But we still have a job to do. And Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts, each and every one of us. Help us to be aware. Help us to be awake. We need to be watching. We need to be sober-minded. We need to understand what's going on in the world, understand the times that we live in, and be ready to share the truth of the Word of God with others. Father, I pray that you open up the eyes of our understanding, that we can behold the wonderful things out of your Word. Enlighten us, Lord. We need it today. And ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's jump into this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, again in verse 4. It says this, but contrast. He just laid out what's going to be happening to those who are without Christ going through the tribulation period. Contrast, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Now remember last week we talked about how the Lord talked about how he's coming as a thief in the night. Well, why is that? Because we saw last week that they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ at his first coming among thieves. There were two other thieves on a cross when Jesus Christ was crucified. And there's this principle that runs itself all the way through the Bible. You reap what you sow. So in the Lord's first coming, they crucified him as a thief. So guess what? In the second coming, he's coming back as a thief in the night. It's like they are not going to be aware of what's going on. But as Christians, that day should not overtake us as a thief. Why? Because we're not going to be around going through the tribulation in the first place. We should be perfectly aware of everything that is going on. I want to give you two references right here in the book of Thessalonians. I have already mentioned these, but I want to review it as we continue on. I want you to go back to chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. And we'll start from verse 9. And laying out the reason why, doctrinally, that this day of the Lord is it's not going to surprise us as a thief in the night, because again, we're not a part of going through the tribulation period leading up to the second coming. We are raptured, we're taken out before then. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting in verse 9, he says this, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. And now you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, notice, which delivered us from the wrath to come." When the Lord comes back as a thief in the night, that tribulation period that precedes that, that is God's wrath being poured out. He's not appointed us under wrath. We have been delivered from that. You go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll cover this verse in some more detail in a couple of weeks. But notice what it says in verse 9. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, why don't you just drop down to verse 9. It says this, "For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." And I said, we'll cover it in more detail when we get there, but just to say this now, our salvation is in three tenths. The past, whenever it was that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are saved, past tense. Like for me, it was June 4th, 1988, I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. I have salvation, past tense. I also have salvation, present tense. Currently, right now, I am saved. All right, he continues to save me. Every moment of the day, every moment of the night, I am presently saved. I don't have to worry about dying and going to hell. But there's also a future tense of my salvation, and that's what we're talking about, that we are saved from the wrath to come. We have not been appointed unto that. We've been delivered from that. But that's a future tense of what he's talking about in dealing with our salvation. And so that's why that this day of the Lord coming back as a thief of night should not overtake us as a thief, because why? We are in Christ. And as we saw last week, we should know perfectly all these things that are going to be taking place. Again, we're not going to know the day and the hour, but we certainly and perfectly should know the timing, the times and the seasons. Now let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and continue on. Again, I'll read from verse 4 and move on to verse 5 as we continue this point of being aware of what's going on. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4 says this, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief." Why is that? Verse 5. "Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not in the night nor darkness." That's why, again, we should be perfectly aware of everything that's going on. Because we are the children of light. We're children of the day. We're not in the night. We're not in darkness. All of us know that it's hard to see things in the dark. All right? When the lights are off. All right, but when the lights are on, you can see everything that's going on. Great, fine, perfect. right? That sort of thing. But we are the children of light. When we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, there are so many things that happened to us the moment that we got saved. I mean, honestly, we're saved. We don't have to worry about dealing with hell, going to hell. We don't have to worry about coming wrath that's taking place. We are adopted sons of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We get the Holy Spirit of God. We got the fruit of the Spirit that is in us. There's so many things that happen. We undergo an operation that you don't even aware of that places us in the body of Christ. We are a soldier in God's army. I mean, there's so many things, but we're also children of light. And part of that bears a responsibility for us. It's one thing we can look at a passage like this and like, well, for lost people that they miss out on the rapture, they're going through the tribulation period. Well, stinks to be you. See ya. Tough cookies. All right. No, that event hasn't happened yet, right? And we, as children of light, have a responsibility to be the light, to be able to share truth with others. So hopefully that they don't have to go through that tribulation period, that they too don't have to worry about that the Lord coming back as a thief in the night, that they are part of the body of Christ. But it takes us to be able to what? Say something. Live the truth of the Word of God. Be the light. And to be able to share the truth of the Word of God with others. We need to open our mouths. As God gives us opportunity, we need to share the truth of the Word of God. Now, I want to look at a couple of references in dealing with this. I want you to go back to the book of Ephesians. Not many pages back to the left. And I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 8 and read down through verse 14. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 8. Now, as you make your way there, I've mentioned this before, in the book of Ephesians, there are seven walks that are laid out, commandments. Five of them are how we are supposed to walk. Two of them are how we are not supposed to walk. Well, here we're going to see one of the walks that we're supposed to be doing. We are the children of light. We are the children of the day. The question is, are we actually living up to what we are in God's eyes, according to His Word? Because we can still be, honestly, the children of the light and the children of the day, but yet, we're not walking like it, all right? And that's going to be a problem. In Ephesians chapter 5, again, starting in verse 8, it says this, "For ye were sometimes darkness," past tense, "but now are ye light in the Lord," present tense, "walk as children of light." Right? We are. This is what we are. This is the reality of what we are being in Christ. If you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are light. The question is, are we letting our light shine? Are we walking in the light? He goes on in verse 9 and 10, it says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." And it says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." I mean, that's what light does. It shines on what is dark. Hey, this is not right. This is not good. That's how we're supposed to walk as children of light. We should be an example of what it is as far as what the Word of God says. We should be the walking, living Word of God. He goes on and says this in verse 12. It says, "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light." It's kind of like saying it over and over and over again that we get the point that this is how we're supposed to be doing. How can somebody in dark understand what the light is if we're not doing our job? How can they see the difference between what is right and wrong if we're not doing our job? All right? Verse 13 and 14. Actually, verse 14 to finish it off. It says this, "Wherefore he saith," interesting, "awake thou that sleepest." I'm going to talk about that here at the end of this message. "And arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Right? That's literally like us as evangelists, as messengers, going and saying, hey, you need to awake. You need to wake up. Right? Arise from the dead. Right? Accept Christ as your Savior. He's going to give you light. He's going to give you truth. That is the message that we need to be doing as Christians. That's why we sung the hymn before this message. Send the light. The gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. And that's how God wants to use us as Christians, each and every one of us. And by the way, doesn't that kind of tie in to our vision this year? That we preach the Word? We're going to go through that passage here in a little bit. We have an obligation to do it, and it's not just for the pastor, it's not just for the leaders of the church, it's for every believer in Christ. I want you to go to another passage. Just turn probably a couple pages over to the right. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. We'll pick it up in verse 14. I was talking about this the other day. Last week, I think, actually. I'm going to start in verse 14 because I don't like verse 14. And if I'm going to be a good preacher, I've got to preach the things that even I have a problem with. And so I'm going to start at verse 14 to get the context of what we're talking about, because it does tie in to being the light and walking as children of light. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, it says this: do all things without murmurings and disputings. I'm sure we all just love that verse. Alright? I'm sure all of us, we don't have a problem with doing all things without murmurings and disputings. That's what the verse says. There's no exceptions in it. The task that maybe you don't like to do that you gotta do at work or whatever the case is, we're supposed to do all things without murmurings and disputings. Well, why? Verse 15. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Now let me hold up there before I actually read verse 16 and conclude this. Notice what it says there. There are Christians, there are churches that don't want to have anything to do with lost people. Everything they do is hanging around and dealing with other brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, that's good. That sounds like, what, Pastor, what are you talking about? In fellowship, good. Yeah, fellowship is good. We're supposed to have fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We just read a passage about not having fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, all right? Obviously, I'm not going to fellowship and do the things that sinners are doing. That's not what they're called to do. But at the same time, I can't isolate myself and never be around somebody who has lost, because how are they going to see the light? How are they going to understand the truth if I'm not being and walking as a child of God, as a child of light, reflecting the light of the Lord Jesus Christ? If I'm not showing that, if I'm not showing the truth of the Word of God, they don't have the option to even know what it is to have a relationship with Christ. It's unfortunate where you have churches and people like that. Oh no, I can't do this or talk that or whatever, you know, because, and they separate themselves. How are you going to reach them? You need to have some sort of relationship with people to be able to show the truth of the Word of God, to show the love of Christ. All right, that's what it is to talk about being light, not isolating ourselves, but insulating ourselves with the Word of God and being the light, as it says here. Notice what it says again in verse 15. All right? It says that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Not separating yourselves out from it. You're in the midst of it. And that's why it's so important that we need to understand and learn and grow in the Word of God. That's why we got to have a solid foundation in the Word of God. How can you be the light in the midst of a dark and perverse nation if you're not solid in understanding what you believe and walking by it? That's why I stress so much the importance of being in the Word of God, reading and studying and just doing everything you can to apply the Word of God to your life, because we have a job to do. We can't expect this dark and perverse nation to get any better if we're not being the light to it. And he goes on, how am I going to do this? Verse 16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. How am I going to be the light in the midst of a dark and perverse nation? Holding forth the word of life. Which means what? It means you've got to start learning the word of life. Applying the word of life. Talking about walking as children of life, that means you're walking according to the word of life. You're walking according to what the word of God lays out for us to do. Right? And that's only going to happen is, guess what? You got to. You're not going to learn it by osmosis. Right? You're going to have to actually open the Bible and read it. You're going to have to study to show thyself approved unto God. 2 Timothy 2:15. A verse that's on the front of this pulpit. Alright? That's how you're going to start walking as light in the midst of this dark and perverse nation. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I mean, this is really what it is to be aware of what's going on. Alright, you go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Again, I'll read from verse 4 and 5, and move into verse 6. It says this, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all, not just a pastor, not just a leader, not just the Christians who have been saved for a long time, all those who are in Christ, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness." But I just got to say this. How many of you know that song, "Freaks Come Out at Night"? I mean, it's an old song. I got one hand. Nobody else knows. I'm giving you homework assignment. Google, YouTube, "Freaks Come Out at Night." Just do that. Just do me that pleasure of doing that so you understand this reference here. Because being in law enforcement and working at night, when I started being in law enforcement, that song is like, now I understand that song. Because freaks do come out at night. I'm not saying it's not freaks in the daytime, but I'm saying it's much more in the night. You know why? Because they like to do their activities and everything like that, so it's literally not seen. The light is not there, all right? And so there's a lot of truth to that old song, "Freaks Come Out at Night." All right, anyhow, but let's move on. I digress. Verse 6, "Therefore, since we're children of the day, since we're children of light, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." So verse 6, in dealing with our second point, being awake. First thing, three things that we need to see here in this verse, obviously. And the first one is, we shouldn't be sleeping. Obviously, we're not talking about physical sleep. We need physical sleep to renew ourselves and so on. It's bad to go without sleep. That's what I'm kind of dealing with a lot. I got like an hour and a half of sleep after work this morning. All right, and I got to go back and work another 12-hour shift. So please forgive me if I leave a little quickly after the service today. I need to try to get a couple hours of sleep or so before I'm back at it. We need physical sleep. But spiritually, we shouldn't be asleep. We need to be awake. And that's why Paul is giving this command to the Thessalonians. I mean, it says in verse 6, "Therefore let us not sleep." He's including himself. He's not just saying what you need to do and he gets to do something different. No, we're all in this together, all right? It says, "Therefore let us not sleep." And as I said at the beginning, there are too many Christians and too many churches that they are exactly that. They are spiritually asleep. And we need to be awake. We have a job to do, and we don't have that much more time to do that job. Time is quickly running out. And it's getting worse and worse and worse. I mean, think about it. I make reference to it. It's like, to think about how much our country has changed in the last 8 months. Think about how much this world has changed in the last year and a half. We have a new normal. I don't like the new normal. Because it keeps on getting worse and worse and worse. So we perfectly need to understand as Christians that time is running out and we can't be asleep on the job. How many jobs can you think of that if you're sleeping on a job, you will get in trouble? In law enforcement, you sleep on a job, guess what? Probably going to get fired. It's a challenge when you're working nights. You got to get up, got to stay awake. You never know what's going to happen. You got to be ready. What about the military? If you got the night watch and all of a sudden you're sleeping, what's going to happen to you? Probably nothing good. How many jobs? Think of the jobs that you have now. I mean, when an employee get in trouble if they fell asleep, Kurt, your job. Working on the gas line, the guy just all of a sudden falls asleep. Might be an issue. Now, I didn't want to talk about electricity. Oh my goodness. All right? I mean, we can all think of a different job. A person falls asleep, that's not going to go too well. And we know that. We can think about that. We can relate to that. We can understand that. But when it comes to our Christian walk, when it comes to the job, the vocation that God has given us to do, to walk as children of light, to share the truth of the Word of God, how many of us are asleep on a job? I want you to notice what it says. I want you to go back to the book of Romans, chapter 13. We're going to pick it up in verse 11 and read to the end of the chapter. Romans chapter 13, starting in verse 11. I want you to notice what Paul is saying here to the church at Rome. This is really tying in what we saw last week and what we're looking at right now. In Romans 13, verse 11, it says this, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer." That's our future salvation. That's when the Lord comes and takes us out of here before the tribulation period and all that that takes place. "Now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." I mean, I got saved in, as I said, June 4th, 1988. Our salvation, the Lord coming back for us, is nearer than when I first believed. Guess what? The Lord's return for us is nearer than when I started this message this morning. We are that much closer to the Lord coming back. And so, it is high time, past time, as believers in Christ, that we need to awake out of sleep. We need to wake up. He goes on and says in verse 12, it says, "The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Now I want you to think about this, and I hope you've been paying attention to the different references that we've been looking at. We have biblically, doctrinally laid out that we, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we are light. We are the children of the day. But it's still our choice whether we're going to walk accordingly. You can be light, but yet not let it shine. I just got the damage. This is the second time it came to my mind, so I just got to mention it. Back in our church in Kansas City Bible Church, this has been some years ago, and we have this, we don't call it a retreat, we call it a charge. And we always have these night games, and usually these night games, I mean, that we have, whether it's capture the flag or some other things that we do, we generally didn't let the teams use flashlights, but one time we let the teams have a flashlight. You could have one flashlight. Kurt knows what's coming. Because Kurt, they decided to have Kurt be the person on their team that had the flashlight. I didn't know that you can capture the same brilliance of the sun in a handheld flashlight. He turns his flashlight on, and it's like the whole campus lit up. I mean, it was absolutely, absolutely incredible. It's like, you really? Do you still have that flashlight? Just like it. It is a flashlight. It's a man's flashlight, I guess. I don't know. Anyhow. But it's like, we need to be the light. It's like that light that Kurt has will do him absolutely no good if he doesn't turn it on. He has it, everything ready to go, but if you don't turn it on, it's not going to do anything. We are the light, being in Christ, but if we don't walk according to it, it's not going to do the world any good. And so we need to make sure that we are walking as the children of light. It says in verse 12, it says, "And let us put on the armor of light." Again, there's so much into this, and we don't have time to get into it, but in Ephesians chapter 6, we know we have the armor of God that's laid out. That armor is also light. We can talk about that armor and how it reflects the Word of God, because it does. But obviously, the Word of God is what gives us the light. So it makes sense that the armor that we put on is an armor of light, because literally the Word of God is our armor. And we need to put it on. And we need to turn it on so that people can see the truth. They got far too many what they call secret Christians. They're Christians, but nobody around them knows that they're Christians because what? They're ashamed. Maybe I get laughed at. Maybe I get ridiculed or whatever. It's like we have a job to do. He goes on and says in verse 13, "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying," all the things that we're seeing in the world today. It's been around since Genesis 3. He says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." In other words, don't do the things that is going to allow, instead of you walking as light, you're going to be in darkness. All right? And it's interesting that we're supposed to wake up, put on our armor of light, and put on Jesus Christ. Every day, you think you get up, you get ready in the morning, you put clothes on, at least I hope you do, before you leave the house, ready to go to work. Well, that's the same thing spiritually that needs to be happening. The only difference is, we shouldn't have to wake up spiritually, we should already be awake. Awake. As you go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I think about this, and I remember just before the service started, I sat down. I made a statement like, oh, I shouldn't have sat down. Because it's like, then I started realizing, yeah, I'm tired. I'm physically tired from working last night. You guys know that. I'm not trying to have a pity party for me. But I want to share something that I understand from this. Last night, in the 2.5 years I've had this job, I probably had the busiest night of my life with things going on. Things were happening. As soon as I got to work at 6 o'clock, relieved the other agent, and it just hit. Different things that were going on, situations that were happening, and I was just on the move. And it's just like the reports are just racking up the things I needed to do. By the time I was done with everything and writing all the reports and stuff like that, it was 4 o'clock in the morning. And it's like, and then just had 2 hours left or whatever. And it's like, it was a busy night. But I didn't notice that I was tired. Because why? I was so busy doing. Got something to do. When I got home and got to bed after the little puppy greeted me in bed, had to share my pillow and lick my head, and it's like, watch it, I don't have that much hair up there, dog. All right. I realized how tired I am. I'm tired. I'm like, I'm not doing anything. It's like, yes, I am tired. But got up, here I am, and I'm fine. So perfectly fine right now. Having a good time. I hope you're enjoying the message. I'm enjoying the message. I'm having a good time. I don't care if you're having a good time. Actually, I'm having a good time. I'm awake. But I notice that when I'm done, I know it's going to be, I got to sleep. Here's the thing that I understand spiritually. It's like, if spiritually, how can I say it with spiritually? If I'm always doing, I'm doing the work of the Lord. I'm walking as a child of light. I'm doing what the Word of God tells me to do. I continue to be doing. I go to work. I'm awake spiritually. I'm looking for those opportunities to build relationships, to be able to share the truth, to try to be the light. You know, I won't have time to spiritually fall asleep if I am what? Doing. Then Jesus Christ himself says, blessed is the person that when I come back that I find so what? Doing. Doing the work that he's laid out for us to do. And it's like, if you're busy doing what God wants to do, you won't have time to spiritually fall asleep. But I'm afraid that there's too many believers in Christ, that's exactly the situation. They're asleep. And just like I talked about a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the rapture. Maybe that's one of the reasons why you have three different things associated with calling out of the church. You got the shout of the Lord, you got the voice of the archangel, and you got the trump of God. Three things. Why? Because the church, unfortunately a lot, is asleep. It's like the alarm clock, and it's too late. We have a certain amount of time to do the work that God has given us, and time is running out. Just like it says in Romans chapter 11, the night, because we are in the night spiritually, is far spent. You realize when God has Paul write that, what year it is? I mean, it's at least probably, what, maybe it's like 64 A.D.? It is 2021, fastly going to 2022. So if the night was far spent back then, what is it today? Things are not going to go on forever. Other people think, oh, everything's just going to go on and be the same, blah, 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 blah. Nope. Time's running out. Night's far spent. It is time for us Christians to wake up, put on the armor of light, put on Christ each and every day in a practical sense of applying the truth of the Word of God, because people need to be reached. You go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 again in verse 6. It says, therefore let us not sleep and to others. There's plenty of others. They're sleeping right along, have no clue what's going on, spiritually speaking. And people are like, I don't want to know what's going on in the world. I don't want to know. Don't tell me. If you don't tell me, then I don't have to worry about it. Now, let's not let that be us. Let's not us be asleep like others. And he goes on. What does he tell us to do? In verse 6, it says what? Let us watch. You need to watch. You need to be aware. You've got to see what's going on. You can't be oblivious to the fact. When I teach a women's self-defense class, one of the things I usually talk about, and the first thing I talk about, is a mindset. Having a mindset that you're not going to get into any trouble in the first place. You are aware of your surroundings. You watch what happens. You go into a restaurant, just take note of where the exits are. In case something happens, you know how to get out of there. Alright? Take note. When I go on an airplane, alright? It's been a while since I've done that, but when I go on an airplane, I look around. I see who's what, who's where, that sort of thing. I see if something happens, if there happens to be Joe Terrace on a plane that wants to take it over, I'm looking, what do I have as a weapon? What can I use as a weapon? One flight, I was in the very back. And I noticed, I was like, there's a fire extinguisher back here. I said, dang, I could do a lot of damage with a fire extinguisher. And I'm in the very back. Maybe you won't see me coming. I think that way. I said, it's not just policing, whatever, just martial arts. Like, watch, be aware of what's going on. It's not being paranoid or anything like that. It's just being aware of what's going on. How many Christians are awake, are aware, and watching what is literally going on before our eyes right now? Are you watching what's going on in this country? Do you see what's happening? Do you see the attacks on the First Amendment? That's a pretty important First Amendment, isn't it? We're talking about the Second Amendment. Yeah, very important. But look at it, a problem. If we can't preach like we're supposed to be able to preach. Are we watching to see what's going on? What are we going to do about it? Well, if you're asleep, you're not going to do anything about it. Watching. I want you to go to really what our vision verses for this year. I want you to go, just flip more to the right to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 1. We talk about watching. Right? Let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch. Be aware of what's going on spiritually. I mean, we can go on and on and on again. I mean, we got to watch. The thing that comes to mind right now is just thinking about there's some states and some school districts that they don't want the parents to even have a say in what they're teaching their kids. I'm like, I'm thankful my son's an adult. I don't have to worry about that. All right? But the Lord Terry's coming and he gets married and have kids and then I got to worry about grandkids. But, I mean, really? You don't want the parents to be involved? I'm going to send my child off to school and let you teach whatever, and you know, have you been watching some of the things that they're teaching? I don't want my son or daughter coming home and thinking that I can be a girl, I can be a guy. That's not Bible. And of course, I just realized what I said there to a lot of people. It's like, I'm not woke. I'm awake. Even after working 12 hours, I'm awake. I'm very awake. The truth of the Word of God, not this nonsense that's going on. I better get on or I'm going to be on a serious soapbox here. The science. Oh, I'm on my soapbox. What about the science? You're either a boy or a girl. My point is like, and there's too many Christians that are just letting these things happen. Why? Because they are asleep. They don't know what time it is. They're not aware of what's going on. They're not watching. 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Verse 1 is in the context of the Lord calling us out in the rapture, His appearance, and also the coming of the Lord when He comes back to the world. It says this, I charge thee therefore before God, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, that is the living, and the dead, at His appearing, rapture of the church, judgment seat of Christ, and His kingdom. After the 7-year tribulation period when the Lord comes back. That is the context of what he's getting ready to say this. Understanding, we're going to give an account. That's what he's saying here. So Paul is charging Timothy, understanding you're going to have to give an account when the Lord comes back for you. This is what we need to be doing. Verse 2. Our vision verse for 2021. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. What do we talk about being the light? What does the light do? It reproves that which is in darkness. That's why we talk about preaching the word, there's reprove and rebuke. It's like there's got to be that necessary, that thing that we don't like to tell people sometimes. You're wrong. What you're doing is wrong. But we live in a culture today. Are you watching? PC? You can't tell something that... I should not preach when I have not had sleep. I hate this term. They're speaking their truth. Their truth means that whatever suits my lifestyle, you can't say anything against it because it's my truth. Yeah, there is truth and everything else is error. Oh, you can't say that. That's not inclusive. That's not loving. What would Jesus do? You know, one of the things that Jesus did was go into the temple and made a flock and start whipping people that were, you know, making it a den of thieves and selling and everything like that. That's what Jesus did. Now, I'm not advocating you go out and be violent. Charles Boyce is not saying that. My point is that people have this idea of, like, God is loving, and He is. But what they mean by that is God is loving, so don't judge my what I want to do. Well, is it what the Word of God says? It doesn't mean that we are brash and beat people up, but it's like, if it's against the Word of God, it's against the Word of God. And I'm truly loving you by saying, hey, this is what God wants for us. Not to live like this, not to do this, this is what it says. But we live in such a PC culture that that's offensive. Off my soapbox. Verse 3. Because this is a time period that we need to do this. Preaching the word. It says this in verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Just give me a story. You can go to plenty of churches. And I thank God you guys, for whatever reasons you want to come here, and those online that listen to me, and I thank God and praise God. But there are plenty of churches that you can get a 15, 20-minute nice little story and be done. But is it going to do anything for your life? Is it going to prepare you for that day of accountability when you're standing before the Lord? And the Lord says, you know, this is what my word said that I want you to do. Lord, I went to church and I had a nice little, and the pastor, he made me laugh. And so it was a great time. Yeah, but this is what I require of you. This is what I commanded you to do. I had all these people for you to reach and be the light, but you didn't do that. And there's people that don't want to know the truth. They don't want to be told that what they're doing is wrong. And all that. I mean, I know we don't like it. Our human nature is against it. It's like, don't tell me. I don't want to be told that. But if I'm wrong, the real love is like, point out what's wrong and how do I correct it so I don't do it wrong again. That's another thing. You're at work, all right? And it's like, your boss or whatever says, points out something that you've been doing wrong. And it's like, you need to, because it could be a serious situation. Don't you want to know that so you don't do it again? Some of us have jobs that it can really cost other people if you get it wrong. Right? And there's decisions that it's like we want to make sure we do it right. Well, same thing spiritually. I got to move on. And verse 4 goes on and says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But notice verse 5, our point. But watch. Preach the word, reprove, rebuke, do all these things. Understand that you're living in a time period where people don't want to hear it. They're going to turn away their ears from the truth. They want a nice fable, a nice story, a lie to suit their conscience and what they want to do in their lifestyle.
that Timothy just realized that's what you're dealing with. But in spite of that, watch thou in all things. I love this next phrase. Because you can bet, if you're standing on truth and being a light in a dark world, you're going to go through afflictions. And guess what? There's going to be some times you're just going to have to do what? Endure it. Well, that's a lovely message, Pastor. I thought I was supposed to come to church and you're supposed to give me uplifting. I'm supposed to feel good. It's about reality. So that when things happen, you're not sucker punched. You understand that this is going to happen and you keep soldiering on and doing the right thing. It says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Sharing the good news of the gospel of grace. There's people that need to hear it. Make full proof of thy ministry. You have a ministry. Again, get this idea of like, well, it's only the pastor that has a ministry. It's the pastor that does the preaching. Preaching is simply telling the truth of the Word of God. This is what God has shown me. Let me share that with you. What's your job? That's your ministry. It's a great ministry ground. Have you thought about that? How many people that you can affect and make a difference in their life for eternity by how you just do your job? When they look at you, they see something different about your life. There's a light there. And how they see you handle affliction, handle going through. There's a difference. And they're like, you get to a place where they ask you, say, hey, can I ask you something? Or I'm having this issue. I'm having this problem. Can you mind talking to me about this? You mind praying for me about this? That's your ministry. In a neighborhood. Maybe it's just you volunteer somewhere in a community. That's one of the biggest things I learned when I was in Canada. 7.5 years of getting involved and volunteering in a community. It allowed me to build relationships and have one thing lead to another. I never went to Canada thinking I was going to be a teen talk show host on local cable TV. Yes, I did that. And I have the videos. How old am I to prove it? I never thought that, but one thing led to another. And it was amazing to see God work through that, just volunteering in a community, getting involved in something, ministry opportunity. Because people in all kinds of cultures and backgrounds and things, that they need truth. And you never know what it leads to. Oh, man, I can go on and on and on. This is not something that's unique to just because I'm a pastor. All right? So, you know what? In Canada, I need exercise. I need to do something as a family. I started doing some karate down here before I moved up to Canada. Let me continue in that. I never had in my mind at all that someday that God would use that to literally be my job and have an avenue through the karate culture and to be able to reach people for Christ. Never had that in my mind. You never know what God's incredible planning has for your life. He's just looking for people to do what? Be awake. Watch. Be aware of what's going on. Understand you have a ministry. Understand you have a job to do. Walk as children of light, and He'll take you from one point to the next point to the next point to the next point. Watch. One more thing, and I gotta shut up. You go back to. I want you to keep a finger in where you're at in 2 Timothy, because actually we're just going to go to Titus chapter 2, but I'm just going to read our verse one more time here. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse 6, there it says, therefore let us not sleep. Got to be awake. As do others. But let us watch. Got to be aware of what's going on. And be sober. We all know what that word means. Usually we always think of it as just, of course, not being drunk. Yeah, obviously that's an obvious definition of all that. But being sober is so much more than not being drunk with alcohol or under the influence of drugs and things like that. It's a matter, do you have your emotions in check? Right? Do you understand that? Okay, understand everything that we see. We got a job to do and everything like that. That we have to be aware, sober-minded. You're aware of what's going on and not allowing your mind and yourself to be again influenced by anything else. All right, sober. And you see it so often. That's why Titus is a good book to see this in. And I'm not going to go through all the times that you see the word sober, but if you take Titus and just run the word in your Bible app or something like that for sober, you're going to see this word appear several times over, and specifically in chapter 2, about sober. Everybody needs to be sober, whether you're young or old, male or female. We all need to be sober. But I want you to just look down and see what it says starting in verse 11. So Titus chapter 2, I want you to start in verse 11, and we're going to read down through verse 13. So Titus chapter 2, starting in verse 11. It says this: "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." It's like no matter when you read Titus, whether it was back then when it was originally written by Paul to give to Titus, to us today, this present world that we're living in, we already talked about it being a crooked and perverse nation, and it's only getting worse. Our job is still to live, the first word that says there, soberly, righteously, doing that which is right, and we know that by the word of God, godly, godlikeness, godliness. What would God do? That's what we're supposed to do in this present world. Verse 13, our focus: looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Another good verse that tells you that Jesus Christ is God, by the way. That's what we're supposed to be looking for. That's been the context of what we've been seeing the last several weeks. The Lord coming back for us. And so understanding that the Lord is coming back for us, how should I be living in this present world? Soberly. And if I'm sober, that means I'm awake. It means I'm watching. It means I'm aware of what's going on. I'm going to leave it at that because, again, I can talk on and on and on by this, and you guys are like, amen, and we know you can, Charles. So, yeah, let's pray. That sort of thing. So I hope this has, again, been a message that really would stir your thinking. All right, and again, that spiritually, it's like, am I awake? Am I spiritually awake? Am I spiritually aware? Am I watching? Am I being sober? Am I aware of what's going on? Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you for the day. Just thank you and praise you for your word. Three simple little verses, and there's so much in it. So much that we're responsible for. So much that we're going to be held accountable for. Understanding, like, Lord, we should be looking for your coming, for your return for us. Understanding we, from the Word of God, are not going through this time of wrath, this coming tribulation, not worried about the mark of the beast or who the Antichrist is going to be. Don't worry about any of that stuff because you have delivered us already from that wrath to come, as we've seen. You've not appointed us unto wrath, as we've already seen. But yet we have a job to do in the midst of this present world, in the midst of this crooked and perverse nation, that we need to shine as lights. It's not our light, it's your light, it's your word. Help us each and every day that when we physically wake up and start our day, we should already be spiritually awake. That we're putting on Christ, that we're putting on this armor of light, that we're getting dressed up spiritually, ready to go. We don't know what a day is going to bring forth. We don't know what opportunities, open doors you're going to give us, but that we would be ready for them, ready to share that light. Help us to be awake because now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. Our salvation is nearer than when I started this message. You can come at any moment. But until you do, we have a job to do. Help us to do it. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.